What's up, everybody? This is Moonshine Shotgun Mulligan Podcast coming at you here with my boy CC Stats. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Happy New Year, Moonshine. Happy New Year, Shotgun Mulligan Pod folks. How is everybody doing?
Well, I'm doing well, man. We're back in action. Holidays are kind of finished up. We're in that lull of pretty much no holidays here for quite some time. But I'm ready for golf season, dude.
It's golf season. It's a what night of the week? It's a Thursday night. So this is the kind of nights I was just thinking about this about 15 minutes ago. It's nights like this where I can turn on and I got the Caps game on one TV and I got the Tournament of Champions, the Century going on another. Who doesn't like live golf at 9 p.m.?
It's perfect, dude. Especially at Kapalua. I was talking to my wife tonight, and for some reason the scenics on Kapalua remind me quite a bit of Torrey. Like, it's Torrey but Hawaii, you know what I mean?
Yeah
It just has that different kind of look to it. You're in kind of, because they're kind of up and down those canyons of where they're at, but something about the trees there, you know, just different. It's a cool landscape, and it's a big elevation change course, as they were kind of highlighting that quite a bit.
I don't think Torrey has the winds that Kapalua has.
No.
I turned it on this evening, and Justin Thomas hit a 370-yard drive.
Did he really?
Jeez. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, there's not much wind off. Torrey, it seems like you're so high that for some reason there's just not as much wind as you would think coming off the ocean. At Pebble and all these other places, when you're on the cliffs, you get tons of wind, but I really don't remember much wind. I guess there's just not a whole lot of wind in San Diego in general.
I wouldn't know. You and Trackman would know. I've never played.
I still got one more course to do on the trio, so I feel like the ultimate trio out there for any kind of trip planning, because I've done two of them. But talking with Craig, that's an in-town resident, would be Torrey South, obviously, if you can get on. Madeiras, which we've talked about on the show before, and Rams Hill. It's out in the country. But I don't know if you've seen. Have you seen Instagram photos of that place? And
I said, let's go. Shotgun Mulligan takes it out west.
We need to eventually.
I'm in.
Got to see Craig and Leanne's new baby. So
Right. Who would have thought Callie Craig could help produce a good-looking kid like that?
I know. Who would have known?
shout out to Callie Craig and his wife. Congrats to them.
Yep, big congrats. So man, this golf season has started. Nothing like we were talking about. Nothing like turning on the television. My son was playing down here in the basement, sat at the bar, threw on the tube, and it was just like some spark kind of lit back up in me, man. I was thinking about pod, and you know, you kind of get in those holiday lulls. You don't play golf because we're in an area that we can't play as much during the holidays. You know, we're not in sunny San Diego like Cal and Craig. You can't really get out.
I didn't get invited out this week, but I turned it down.
Did you? Was it too cold or something? Or you had something going on?
No, I mean, it was Monday. We were off Monday, but I just wanted to do some things around the house. But it's been 62 degrees the past 4 days here. So, of course, now it's been chilly out. But
it's a little wet, though. It's the only thing.
Yeah.
We've been getting some rain. So, but yeah, it was just, you know how kind of your clubs are in the garage and you hit that little lull. It's not that you don't love it as much, but you just haven't. It's one of those things, it's your hobby that you just haven't got back in the swing of it yet. But it's something about when I hit that power and turned on old Kapalua, man, I got the fire again. I kind of want to go out tomorrow.
It's nice. It's nice, man. Yeah. Definitely there's been a lull, and I think obviously you haven't had any golf really since the father son or the parent championship. And I only watched a little bit of that, and you haven't had any real golf really since, I don't know. Liv played in late October, early November.
Did you watch any of the match?
I watched some of it. We were traveling, but I did watch some of it in the hotel we were in. So that I was actually it seemed entertaining. I mean, the four of them together are pretty good. So
right.
But yeah. So yeah, lull and golf. We all had the holidays, we had Thanksgiving, and then rolled into Christmas, and then we had New Year. So hope Moonshine and the family had a good Christmas, good holiday.
We did. Hope you did too, man. What you drinking over there, bud?
Water.
Me too, brother.
Yeah.
You pulling the dryuary as well? Or
I don't know if I'm going to pull the full dry January, but my goal is at least Monday through Thursday, maybe Monday through Friday.
Yeah, that's what I was doing most of my wife's pregnancy, but basically the old January, I said I'll try to do it. I've never done a full dryuary. I mean, I've done long stretches of not drinking during the week, but I'm gonna go for it, man.
Well,
Saturdays will be tough, Friday, Saturdays, but there's other things to do. I'll just drink a Coke, hang, chill.
I don't drink soda, so it's just water for me, and I can only drink so many of sparkling. I did make a well, I'm that's why I said I'm not doing it entirely, I don't think. I was Sunday, I had a nice bottle of wine that we'd opened a couple days prior. I'm like, well, it's gonna go bad.
Yeah,
It's New Year's Day, I gotta drink it.
that's exactly what when I was trying to do the Monday through Thursday like you were doing throughout Aaron's pregnancy, I was that would be the same thing. I'd have some red wine on a Sunday night, and I'm like, it's been about 3 days. I kind of opened this back up. I don't want this to be grape juice, this weekend or vinegar.
I did make a mocktail the other night. It was actually pretty good. I had two
Did
of them.
you?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was a
What was it?
little turmeric tonic. It was turmeric. I think I did a quarter teaspoon of turmeric, maybe a smidge more, half a lemon, and it calls for it. The way it called for it, you're supposed to juice everything. I don't have a juicer, but I actually had fresh ground ginger. So I did a quarter teaspoon of ginger, quarter teaspoon of turmeric, a half a lemon, and Italian sparkling water, and just stirred it up. It was pretty good.
That sounds pretty tasty.
I even salted the rim of the glass.
All right. You going full-fledged,
That's
man.
right.
I almost picked up some Bud Zeros today, but then with men picking up zero alcohol, it gets you that gets you a couple looks in the checkout lines. Like, is
Yeah.
he recovering? Is he what's going
What's
on
going
here?
on?
Because I do just love the taste of beer. I mean, seriously, I could drink one of those and enjoy it just like you can drink a mocktail, but
That's right.
the old wandering eyes of the general public, didn't want to pull a World Cup and have me at my Bud Zero.
So what do you think about the golf season upcoming? A lot of chatter, I guess, a little bit this week with, I mean, we're back to where I feel like we're back to kind of where we started. Liv's now introduced most of their schedule, not all of it. Do you think that there's going to be some kind of consensus where they can come together? And it sounds like more and more guys are starting to speak out about they feel like they got to work together. And now they're going to be able to play in all the majors. I mean, the Masters kind of setting the tone. They're not going to take it away from
Right.
them.
Well, that just it just decreases the product, I mean, if they don't let DJ and some and Koepka and them go to the Masters, or their product just, it devalues instantly. It's not that the PGA Tours, they're right now they're still pretty darn strong even with the LIV guys over there, but if you just have the PGA guys, who's gonna Not everybody's going to tune into the Masters. I mean, people want to see Phil trotting out there again. People want to see Bubba, if he can play again. I don't know if he'll be back yet, but I know he's gearing up to try to play this year. But there's just some guys on LIV that some people are looking forward to seeing there. And I think Fred really Ridley made probably the right decision. Not, and
Yeah.
I think he explained it a really nice way that. He wasn't supportive of LIV and he thinks it's kind of destroying a little bit of the history of golf, but he's like, I want the best players there. So
Why wouldn't he?
he's like, if they meet the criteria. So that was the big quote or whatever, but
Well,
I don't blame him. You got to have a good field out there. He wants good
yeah.
competition. It's the Masters. He doesn't want to devalue the product. So I don't really blame him.
Well, two things. I think it's very interesting. The PGA Tour has taken such this hard stance on can't play, whatever. But then you got the DP Tour and a couple of the other tours that are like, yeah, bro, come on, come play. And
Right.
it's like, so I get what I kind of understand why they're doing it. You hear some guys talking like they've kind of had quality of life. I heard the Friday before Christmas, the Junkies, the local sports radio, they had a mystery guest, and their mystery guest was Harold Varner. And his
Oh, really?
interview, yeah, I'll have to find it and send it to you. His interview was phenomenal. Like, he was
Was
great.
really.
He was amazing. Like, he's kudos to him and what he said in the interview. I'll send it to you. But he just kind of talked about it. Him, it's like he's kind of set up his family. He has people that kind of rely on him, and he said he was blunt, and that's what he said when he put his statement out there. So good for him. I mean, but yeah, it was a really good interview. And two, you don't want to decrease the quality of product because your boy Moonshine's going to the Mets.
Right. I mean, I want to see DJ ripping some drives out there. I mean, come on, dude. I mean, I'd like to see Bubba cry on the 18th green. I mean, at least he doesn't have Ted Scott to yell at now. But, oh, Scheffler. Thankfully, Scheffler seems like he's treating him a little bit easier. So, Teddy Scott's, like, loving life right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Bubba, I don't think – I mean, Bubba's an intense dude. They talked about it. They were both intense, and it looked worse. They said it looked worse than it really was. But who knows? They may have not got along that well. You never know.
They're probably two very similar personalities, and that's what you saw.
Right. Whereas Scheffler's a little bit more laid back, and Teddy's kind of, you know, pretty out and about, and, you know, pretty loud, and, you know, kind of knows what he knows. And I don't know. I think that combo just does work, though. They look great together.
Yeah.
Ted and Scotty. They have a good flow.
Very good flow.
Because Ted has that good experience, and Scotty's got so much talent. It's kind of just a really nice combo. And well, different personalities, too. So
definitely looking forward to it. Like, you have Hawaii the next couple weeks, and then they come back. And I was just starting to look at the schedule before we jumped on here. Hawaii, you got Kapalua this week. By the way, PGA Tour, I'll give them a little bit of a shout out. They updated their app, which their app literally blew me away. And I've only spent 5 minutes in. Good, it looks 10 times better than it used to.
Doesn't really
look like it's from 1990 anymore. So let's see here. So you got Kapalua this week, Sony Open next week. Then they go to the American Express. And then it gets rolling. I mean, it's hard to believe.
Farmers at the end of the month. Yes.
Farmers is at the end of the month.
Torrey, baby.
Pebble Beach. Which I hope Pebble Beach, apparently California is getting hammered by some bad, bad, bad weather. I saw pictures this afternoon of Monterey Peninsula.
They're getting cooked.
Oh, this bomb cyclone, I guess, is kind of hitting and it's just going crazy.
Are they just getting tons of wind and rain?
Wind and rain and everything else. Yeah, it's like that one iconic par three or on Monterey Peninsula, like there was no green. Like it was just covered in sand and everything.
Wow.
So then you got Pebble Beach the first week in February, and then you got the Waste Management, which is actually also scheduled to be the same weekend as the Super Bowl. And then you round out the West Coast swing with the Genesis. I mean, Pebble, Waste Management, the Genesis back and part it was 4 weeks in a row. Farmers, Pebble, Phoenix, Genesis.
That's nice.
Oh, and then you come back this way and you got the Honda Classic.
Now that I've been at the Genesis, man, I always liked that tournament in Riviera, but going there was cool, man. It was one of those kind of iconic courses that it wasn't set in the setting you would think. You know, when we talked about it, you know, it's kind of slammed in some random, basically, little suburb. You know, you're just kind of walking through streets and houses, and then it's like, oh, Riviera is around some corner.
Right.
But I guess that's, you know, it's LA, you know, it's not like it's out in the country. So, but it's cool. It's just an interesting course. Tough.
This year you got the Open out at LA Country Club.
Oh, and yeah.
You got the Masters in the first weekend in April. And then you have the Oak Hills got the PGA Championship in May, Open in June. And then the Open Championship is in late July at Royal Liverpool.
All right. Liverpool.
And that I didn't even throw in there the that's what I'm interested to see. That I feel like something's got to give a little bit before the Players Championship.
Mm-hmm.
You got $25 million on the line.
Yeah,
$25 million purse. And remember, we got a lot of these boosted tournaments this year. That like, I mean, Pebble is not so the boosted tournaments. There's nothing boosted prior to Phoenix. Phoenix
is boosted, right?
Phoenix is boosted, and Genesis are both boosted back-to-back weeks.
Just going to get some good fields.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be unreal. So that's what I'm saying, $25 million on the line, purse. I feel like there's got to be some kind of resolution before March.
You would hope, but it seems like Jay Monahan's been pretty stiff, man. I don't know if he's going to budge. It's going to take even Rory and them and Tiger kind of conceding a little bit and say, hey, like, can we do make some type of deal? But I don't know if they're going to do it. I mean, I think Tiger and all of them and Rory have kind of held tight with how they feel about it, but we'll see. I don't know. I think that boosting these events is going to maybe keep some of those guys that are on the fringe of going, you know, just to see how this plays out on the PGA Tour. I mean, because if you have a better season, especially in the boosted tournaments, it's like an extra major, you know, it's like extra cash. It's like doing well in a major, but it's actually just a regular tour event. Whereas in the past, you know, they may scrape by, make the cut and, you know, make a little bit of cash. But now with a boosted kind of pot in your top 10, you make some serious money.
Yeah. So speaking of the other tour, the Live Golf, their first tournament kicks off February 24th. They just stole that course away from PGA Tour. They're going to Mayakoba. They take a few weeks off and they go to Tucson. And then they go to Australia in mid-April, Singapore the following week. They play late April in Adelaide, Australia, then Singapore the following week. So they play back-to-back weeks. And then they're at Tulsa, Valderrama, and Greenbrier, Moonshine's home state. Now, that's not the full schedule. This is just what's been posted. Greenbrier isn't until August. So, but I know there's more dates in the – I've heard rumblings, and you know, I've talked about it before, that Trump National out here in Leesburg is going to get an event. So
I've heard that up in the because one of my – at work, I work with some old gentlemen that, you know, I take care of some patients that are members over there, and they hear the rumblings too. So they think they're probably going to get an event. The inside scoop there, the inside scoop at the retirement community.
There you go. Well, maybe Shotgun Mulligan can get out there for that.
I know, right? Hey, I got invited to lunch out there. He didn't drop that you can play 18 with me, but he's like, you deserve some lunch with me. And I can't break HIPAA, but just a very, very vague kind of reference of who this gentleman was. I had an awesome golf talk with a patient, and I have before with one patient years ago that played with Arnold Palmer down at Bay Hill. He was a part-time member at Bay Hill for a while. That was a pretty cool conversation. But then this guy was a Hall of Fame. I'm just going to stay a Hall of Fame golfer of some state. It could be our state. It could be somewhere else in the U.S. because I don't want to give anything away. But older gentleman, very nice man. He's like, his claim to fame, he said he played with all the greats. He said he was good, was a pro. He was, I think, number one on his college team, a good quality college team, what it was, and played with Nicholas and Palmer and all of them up through the junior golf and through college and things. But he said that he was really good friends with Pels. Dave Pels showed. He said he showed him some of those tricks of short game. So we'll see. But one thing, you know, we used to do the tips of the week, and I wanted to give this out for this guy. So he said he taught Dave Pels. So Pels was trying to come up with he came up with this new putting aid, which was about hitting the sweet spot. So I don't know if I've never seen this putting aid, but supposedly he has one that it's geared to hitting the sweet spot. And if you hit the sweet spot of the putter, you have so much more statistics that you're going to make the putt, or at least get it somewhat close. Supposedly this unknown gentleman said that he told Dave Pels that his one putting strategy was to always look, I think it was 5 feet past each cup, which you hear a lot, but I think he gave me like an actual feet. He goes, what's your only putting thought? And he said, that's it. 5 feet behind the cup. Cause it gives you so much more percentage making each putt. And you always hear about looking past the cup, but I kind of didn't know like how past the cup, you know, but you know, it's just,
my motto is if I actually like that, I might have to try that. I always kind of feel like, obviously, if the ball doesn't get to the hole, it's not going in.
Mm-hmm.
But you also don't want to hit it 17.
You want to blast it. Maybe it was 3 feet, because 5 feet sounds a little far. I think it was 3 feet behind the cup. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Even when I'm chipping, I have a drill where I put some tees. If I'm doing a chipping drill, or I kind of visualize, take 4 tees and put them kind of behind the hole in like an arc, but do it like 2.5-3 feet. Because if you're chipping, you can work on short or long chips. And if you chip and you don't get it to the hole, you're short. But if you get it to the hole and past the tees, you got a good chance of chipping that chipping or putting that, getting up and down pretty easy.
Right.
And honestly, a buddy of mine that I used to coach golf against, he gave that to me a few years ago, and I used it. I don't put tees down anymore, but now when I chip, I'm thinking, all right, 2 feet past, 2 feet past, 2 feet mm-hmm. past. Because mm-hmm. one, it goes in if it gets there. Two, if it's 2 feet past, I'm kicking it in for a par or birdie or, you know, something else.
And so, if you chunk it a little bit and you're actually aimed just slightly past the cup, you're going to be decent. You know, it's not going to, like, you're going to chunk it right onto the fringe and not even have a chance, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. Guess that if you're a new golfer, you want some new tips for the year. I mean, not that we're a world class golfers, but I'm going to take that one. You know, actually think about it. You always hear that, but when I get over a putt, do I really think about it? No, but I need to start actually like seeing if it works, you know?
Well,
dude said his putting was fire. So
I don't know how many new followers we got, but I need to give a shout out to my buddy, Billy. Billy has become a diehard Shotgun Mulligan pod listener.
All right, Billy.
He's been giving me crap. I got a text from him the other day. We're going to kick out of this. He was driving. He currently lives in Houston, and he's moving this way back up. So I get a text from him the other day, and he says, "You're slacking on the podcast. He's stuck on I-10, and I only had one to listen to from November."
Sorry,
so I told him, I said, "Don't worry, back, man. We're starting to kick in." So this shout out for you for pushing us a little bit. So we'll be back. I think our goal is to at least do one a week. If we can do one a week every week, it's a lot of podcasts. So for those long drives, you can listen to a couple.
Hey, man, everyone loves that Spotify Wrapped. We I think we were 68% more content than any other podcast. So
nice.
We're in the top tier putting out some decent, but we will definitely, Billy, get you some more content, brother. So when you're taking your drives, you'll hear a little bit more of some moonshine rambling. old country moonshine. So but what are you looking forward to stats in terms of, we already talked about kind of our goals for the golf year, but taking it back to Virginia golf, because we're Virginia golf guys, what's a course that either locally here around DC or somewhere in the immediate vicinity that you haven't played or that you haven't played in a long time that you really want to check out at some point this year?
So a course that I haven't played that I'd like to, I hear good things about it. I've never played Potomac Shores, so I'd really like to play there.
You read my mind. I was about to say that.
I mean, that's typical. If Trackman was here, he'd be like, no, there's no shock there. Right. yeah, I'd like to play Potomac Shores. I've gotten the opportunity to play out at TPC Avenue a couple of times. I just like the layout. I like the redo. I mean, I don't get out there that I don't get invited out there very often, but every time I do, I'm very grateful. Two courses I'd really like to play is Potomac Shores and try to somebody to get on Congressional. I mean, I think
that would be insane.
If you can play Congressional, I mean, that's especially now that it's been redone. But another local course, a couple of courses that I like to play that are just, they're not, I mean, they're no Potomac Shores and they're no Congo is, I do like Prince William. I go out to Prince William and not that I feel like I got a free swing, but I always play well. I think the last two times I played there, I shot 78, 77.
Nice.
It's
a fun little course, man. Yeah. It's got some interesting setup holes. You know, it's not a completely flat muni. Like there's a couple little interesting kind of uphill, downhill, some
dogleg right, tiered green.
Right. A few like selective shots or that one random par three that's like 220. I'm like, what the heck, dude? This is like a muni. What are we the water?
Number 16, that's a dogleg right. And you kind of can play it out a little left and let it cut back. But then if you cut it too much, you're down in the little gullet there. And then you got that tiered green that you got it. Yeah. So.
Yeah, there's some fun little holes on that course.
It's a cool little course. It's not the greatest course, but it's a good muni course. It's inexpensive. Everybody talks about, I actually just got an email. I'm on their email list. Why, I'm not sure. But and I think maybe the boys should go out and venture out when it warms up a little bit. Go out to Bowling Green and try to play their courses out there.
Yeah, I've seen. I mean, they have some good rates and the courses. Actually, I got two courses, right?
Yeah.
And it looks like some decent courses. I did get a another dude. I don't know what about. I guess dermatology. It brings, it brings people, golfers, obviously, because of sun damage. But I met another gentleman that is a member at this course outside of Winchester. It's pretty new. It has two courses. I'm blanking on the name, but it'll come to me probably after we get off the pod, and I'll shoot to you off air. But looks really nice, like right outside of Winchester. So I'd like to hit that one up because he said it's a good challenge. It's deep. He goes, man, you could play the tips, but that's a good 7,400 yards. I'm like, no thanks, dude. Give me 64 or 66.
So there's Rock. Is it Rock? It's not Rock Harbor.
Rock Harbor. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Rock Harbor's been. I didn't know that. Oh, they do have 36.
Yeah. They just built.
Rock Harbor's been out there a while. I've never played there. The pictures that I've always seen. I know people that have played out there are beautiful. So.
Yeah, it looks nice. So there, I want to play out there just because I got a good recommendation. The guy said it's a fun little course and it's a good challenge. Spring Creek. I keep talking about this course. It was top 100. Yep. It's almost going to go. It keeps talking one of those courses that's semi-private, but is going to go full private at some point. So I do want to get out to there, Gordonsville, Virginia.
Not far either, right?
It's like right down. I think that's Orange County, kind of between us and Charlottesville, kind of on that way down. Could hit some breweries up and wineries up. So that has been a thought to get down there one time. So that's my. Other than the Pot Shores, so if Trackman listens to that one, he'll laugh. But my two would be Rock Harbor there. Thanks for the research, their stats, and down to Spring Creek.
Spring Creek, I do know some few people that have played Spring Creek, and they always talk about it. So I always forget about that one. It's a course that you kind of don't hear a lot about, and just kind of like, oh yeah, I forgot about Spring Creek. So yeah, hopefully we get out and play a little golf here. We'll see. Looks like we might get a little weather here in the next week. So,
Stats, if you ever get the invite to Congo, can you please shirts off 18? Because it's not like you're going to get an invite back anyways.
Depends on who I'm with. Depends on who I'm with. I'll just leave it at that. If I ever got the invite and I was with somebody that might have me invite out to other places, I probably wouldn't do it. But if it was maybe with a member, I might do it. Like, just hold my phone for a second. I mean, 18 is nowhere near the clubhouse, so
nice. It's a new setup, right? It's kind of far back, like the tee box. At least you can't really see it.
Yeah. I mean, you're farther back. It was never really near the clubhouse in the first place, but yeah, I would consider it.
I've been thinking the old Amazon tees that I've been coming out with old shirts off 18 tee. I need to put that one out at some point.
I like it. Silhouette of you. I mean, it can't be some skinny guy. It's got to be a dad bod.
Yeah, it has to be a dad bod. No, every time now, when I went out with my wife for my birthday when we played nine, she'd take me doing shirts off, and I probably could post that on the old Shotgun Mulligan. But yeah, the dad bod every year, it's getting more more full, dude.
Amen to that.
You got the boxers and the tire rolling around.
What other golf news is out there that we wanted to touch base on? I know it's been a while. I was rolling through some stuff here a little while ago. Apparently, Scheffler made a comment that there's a separate table for Bubba at the Masters, which I think is kind of funny.
That's funny.
I guess they ran into each other. They ran into each other recently at on vacation. I see Cantlay. I saw this yesterday. Patrick Cantlay is an equipment free agent, which makes me think there might be a move coming.
When they go equipment free, they change it up usually, right?
Well, I mean, he's entering 2023, but you have said before you think he might be somebody that could jump. That could jump. So
yeah, I think he is. I think he's going to jump. If I was going to guess, I don't know when. Like maybe he'll play. I guess you said end of February is the first event.
Yeah,
I could see him playing then through, playing Waste Management, playing Genesis, and then dipping out right before the Masters and stuff.
Yeah, no more titleless clubs. He's going to retain that relationship for use their tending to use shoes, balls, and gloves. But he's free to use any equipment on after failing to come to terms, and no more Hugo Boss.
He was like the Hugo Boss man.
He was.
Yep. Well, that is a little suspicious that he might be jumping ship because, maybe Hugo Boss, who knows his business deals, but maybe they don't want to support him if he goes over to live, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Let's see what else we got here in the news. Will Zalatoris is back this week.
Spieth, yeah, I've been watching him hit a few balls. He's not playing too bad.
Yeah, he was Spieth, like two or
I think Spieth's going to have a good year this year. He's up on my screen right now. He, uh, I don't know. He just looked good, like, at times in this fall. And then when he was on the match, like, he looked like his swing was, you know, in decent shape.
Yep.
He's putting really well. You know, in the President's Cup, he was basically carrying, as I say, he's putting well, and he just missed, like, a one-footer. But he was basically carrying JT, you know, throughout times of the President's Cup. Not that he carried him the whole time, but he just is playing a little bit better, you know. So I do always like seeing him playing some better golf. So hope he, shout out to Spieth. Hopefully he has a good year this year, because we do miss some good Spieth golf. And when he's in the mix, it's fun just because he's such a competitor.
Yeah, it's funny. In the 35 minutes we've been on here, when I first turned it on, Tom Kim was like at 4 under, and he's already at 7 under.
Tom Kim is money. He's a talent.
I don't know if you saw earlier this evening, right before we came on, he apparently hit an iron out of the fairway, one hop backed up straight into the cup.
Really?
Then he turned to the guy with the camera and he goes, "Did you get that on camera?" So
he's awesome. He's some good young talent. I think it was pretty cool that in the President's Cup it kind of showcased it a little bit. He got to his little kind of coming out party. So he's kind of rolling off that momentum. It's been cool to watch.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think he's going to have a huge year. And so this is my, I'll give you, I don't know if we fully said it. So sleeper of the year, gosh, he should be the sleeper of the year. Let me think, a regular top guy of the year that's going to have a good year. I talked about this, I think, in the fall. I'd say Xander is going to have a quality year. I'd say he gets one major and I don't know, maybe like 3 or 4 tour victories.
Okay.
And I hope he stays on the PGA tour. So that's my person that's kind of obviously not a sleeper top guy that I think is going to have a good year. Last year was, I think the year before, I said Cantlay, and he had a good year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to pull that out with Xander. Let me think of an underdog. Do you got a top guy? I'm going to think of an underdog while you're.
I'll give you 2 top guys. I think this guy, I think he was probably disappointed in how he played last year. Played isn't the right word. Disappointed in how he performed. Because I think he played okay. I just don't think he performed at the peak level at certain times. But I think John Rahm's going to come out and guns a blazing. I mean, he's already at 7 under in the first round. I think he's going to – I could see him winning at least one other major this year. I don't know anything about LA Country Club, but he won out on the West Coast before, won the U.S. Open out there. So there's an early prediction. I could see him at least winning one, but I could see him also winning 4 or 5 other times.
Yeah, I agree.
And trying to think of a mid-tier guy without kind of rolling through the names. You know, a guy like Billy Horschel had a good year last year.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that probably didn't have he won, but he didn't have the best year was Tony. I think Tony was very up and down.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Tony having a good year too, although I'm sitting here looking at it. Tony won twice last year. So.
Well, Tony didn't have a good long year last year, but his last, they showed, I was watching earlier, like right when I turned it on, his last 5 starts or something have been amazing, you know? So he's coming around. So yeah, I could see that working out this year for Tony. Kind of a lower mid tier guy. Not that it just because he's on the top of the leaderboard, but Mackenzie Hughes, he's played solid in the fall. I think he is like one of the top FedEx Cup points through the fall, but I just feel like he's a little bit of an underrated guy that's a pretty good talent. So I think he might have a good year this year too.
It's funny you talk about Mackenzie Hughes, then I started thinking about Tom Hoagie, who's sitting right underneath him right now. So
right,
I mean, the guy that's, I know you might be on a little bit of delay. Sung Jae-im plays in so many tournaments. And then you forget that he finished 2nd in the FedEx Cup last year.
Yeah, dude, he just plays, he grinds. He plays in like every tournament possible. Yeah.
I think, I'm curious, I'm going to look up real quick while we're talking about that. How many tournaments he played in last year? I would bet he played in at least 27 tournaments last year.
How many total tournaments were last year?
That I don't know. Hold on, let's see here.
30 some maybe?
Maybe. I mean, top to bottom, let's see.
I'd say he played an 80%. I don't know where that'll put him, but he rarely takes off.
It's nuts. Sung Jae-im, let's see. He played in, love it. I love that smile from Sung Jae. Let's see here. Sungjae Im. Stats are pretty good too. Career. Oh. Forgot we're in the 2021. Got to go back a year. He played in 26 tournaments last year.
Wow, good call.
Yeah. The year before, he played in 35.
Jeez.
This is his last 4 years. 18, 19, 35. 19, 20, 26. 20, 21, 35. 21, 22, 26. So that means if he does the same thing, he's geared up for 35 tournaments this year.
What's his net worth, man? That sounds like a pretty good, because he makes the cut quite a bit.
Over $17.3 million already. In 6 years, 5 years on tour, 6 years on tour. He only played in two tournaments in 17 and 18, and he made the cut. So, and then he's boom. I mean, over the last 4 years, he's got nine top tens last year, five, seven, seven. Top 25s out of 26 and 35 tournaments. 17 last year, then 16, 11, and then 16.
Pretty good stats. Stats with the stats.
I need to
the one thing, but I would, the thing that I would question though is of these guys that play, I don't know, X amount of 25 or more tournaments a year, like how quick do they burn out? You know, like it, like the injury, or just in terms of like drop off of their successes and things. I mean, I'd be curious. I mean, that's pretty cool that he's able to, he's pretty young. So taking that amount of a tour schedule, he could probably hold it, but I would be curious. I'm trying to think back in history of someone that plays a lot or played a lot and then just kind of fell off all of a sudden. You know, there's this handful of guys here and there that have done that.
Here's a stat for you on Sungjae. He's missed total tournaments he's played on the PGA Tour in the 6 years, including three in this current season, which he's got one top 10 and one top 25, made the cut in all three. Out of 127 tournaments, how many cuts do you think he's made?
127 tournaments?
Mm-hmm. This is astounding.
115 cuts.
Close, 102.
Wow.
He's missed the cut 25 times. And that.
Yeah, because I know he makes the cut like every time. I don't ever remember not seeing him on the weekend. Seriously.
Nine of those missed cuts were in his first full year.
Really?
The last 3 years, he's missed 4, 6, and 5.
Mr. Consistent, man.
Why am I not picking him every week in some DFS?
Right, because, I mean, you just put him top 20 or just, like, make the cut, Sungjae Im, each week and parlay that with something, you know?
That's ridiculous.
That's nuts.
Look at stats. Stats pulling out some stats in the first episode of the new year.
Before, I like it, dude. Before we hit the break, who will have a better career, Sungjae or Tom Kim?
Ooh. I mean, I kind of got to go Sungjae right now.
So you're on the Sungjae, man. So of the pick of that.
I mean, I don't think I've picked him a lot, but I just feel like Sungjae, he's always there. Those stats are ridiculous, but
I guess the stats speak for stats, but I think I'm going to go with old Tom Kim. I'm just going to go out on the limb, say he's going to continue this little streak and keep rolling.
I hope so, because I think I picked him to win this week.
Did you really?
I think so.
Speaking of that, man, what do you got going on the old DK D-Gen picks with the old shotgun mulligan? You got anything fancy?
Nothing too fancy. I haven't made any picks in a while, so let me take a gander here. I think I might have placed this one. I placed it, I think right before we went on. Tony Finau to win. Is this what it is? Let's see. Tony Finau to win and Tom Kim to be a top five.
I like
did
it.
50 cents pays $29.90. I'll give you my sleeper in a second. Justin Thomas, dollar pays 12. Whoop-de-doo. Spieth, dollar pays 21. I kind of went out on a limb on this one. It's not the best odds. It was 2,800, but Tom Kim and Will Zalatoris to finish top five.
I like that. That's
Tom Kim's
good.
Doing pretty good right now. He's sitting T2, T3. And then, all right, here's a couple of sleepers. A couple of sleepers here. Actually, well, here's one more parlay. Tom Kim to win, Jordan Spieth top five.
I like
that's
it.
The one I'm, that's the one right there.
That you got it all in for.
Dollar pays the 133.
Attaboy.
But all right, here's my sleepers. And I think this guy's due to have a little bit. He's gonna he's been playing well on tour the past year or so, or year and a half. Sahith Theegala.
Yep. I got him on some bets.
Got him to win. And then here's a sleep. This is like I went low or high odds on this.
Low fruit on that one.
Well, you got to – you can't – to play in this tournament, you have to win.
Right. So and there's not a whole lot of people in the field either, so your odds of winning are a little higher.
Right. This guy won, and he played – he won at a very tough golf course, I believe. And he hits the ball about – I remember us talking about it, watching him hit the ball, and we were like, damn, he hits the ball really hard. I want to see if you could figure out who it might be. And he won in Florida last year. I'm trying to see where he's playing right now, how he's doing. I don't think he's doing very well. That would be one Sepp Straka.
Sepp.
So he shot 200 today.
And I thought about Sepp. I thought about betting on Sepp, but I don't think I end up putting him on any of mine. Nah.
We see a lot of guys that don't have a good first round, and then they have a good second, third, and fourth round. But a dollar pays 111. So.
I like it.
But I like my Tom Kim, Jordan Spieth. It looks kind
of... Yeah, I like Tom Kim, Jordan Spieth. I think of all yours, that's probably your best. Well, the other ones could work out. I think Sahith is still a little... gets a little bit nervous and gun-shy if he's in the mix, you know, at the end. But he'll break that barrier at some point. He's good and he's young. So
Did you see Spieth chipping out of the... flop it out of the bunker?
Not yet.
Oh, you got to go look at it. It was unreal.
Matty Fitz is making a little run, too.
Yep. Fitz is making a run.
He's got a hack job on his haircut. I knew something was off. He has no sideburns. Did you see that?
I did not.
He did just like a straight. Scheffler kind of has that. Is that like a new look or something?
I don't know. Got,
like no sideburns. Like just like cut.
I'm looking at John Rahm right now. John Rahm, you know the little Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer show that comes on every year. It's like almost like the claymation or animation,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
It's on. You know the I need to take a picture and send this. You know the guy that Rudolph finds? I can't remember his name. He's like the mountain climber or the hiker.
Yes.
The beard. When you watch this in a few minutes, when you get to it, John, that's what John Rahm looks like. He's like gritting his teeth. That's what he looks like. I wouldn't tell him that to his face. He's probably
punching me. Yeah, John Rahm's got some serious anger issues still in that tank somewhere.
Take it out on that little white golf ball. He just missed a putt for eagle.
So I got I did the four pick parlays again. So with round robins. So yep. Four pick parlays, and then for the round robins, I'm doing round robins of three. So I would have to hit three of the four for any of these. But you know, some are top 20, top 10, top five, and winner. So one that. It's kind of similar to some of yours is Tom Kim to win, Sahith Theegala top five, Brian Harman top 10, and Corey Connors top 20. I don't know all where right. Harman's at. Harman probably he was kind of only like one under or something earlier when I looked, but Kim's got a chance, Sahith's got a chance. He's playing decent, and Corey Connors is going low right now. So I like that one. And then let me scroll through.
While you're looking, Theegala's at minus six, top 10.
Nice.
Harman is at T17 minus five.
Okay, that's not bad.
Who else did you have?
Tom Kim to win.
Tom Kim's T4.
Corey Connors, 20. Did I tell you that one?
Corey Connors is T17. They're looking pretty good on those right there.
That is $1 plays 1800.
Oh, that's a little bit dicey. That's a good bet right there.
And then the only other big hitter one, this has less high odds. You know, it's not as big of a payout, but still a nice little payout if it does happen. This is a more likely one to happen. Xander to win. We got Mackenzie Hughes top 20, Max Homa top 10, and Tom Kim top five.
Okay.
I could see three of those hitting. You know, yeah. To hit all four, would be pretty ridiculous for any of these, but because it's like already hard enough to hit the winner. But if you're going to hit one of these, you'd hit it in a tournament like this. Oh, I just saw Tom Kim had that back hit that wedge shot back in. Silly.
Like I said, there's a lot of guys that I feel like they don't play as great on the first round, and then boom, it's on. Like,
right,
the next three.
Because there's been so many times I'm kind of in the mix with all these parlay, four pick parlays with my round robins, and they're playing so well at the first. And I'm like, there's no way two or three of these aren't, because I'm usually doing two of them for round robin, but then they fall off in the weekend. So I'm hoping it actually kind of goes the other way this week. But yeah, man, as long as they keep getting up and down in Hawaii.
I hope they get up and down too, because I need to load up my account a little bit with some cash.
Tell you, man, I'm just enjoy getting back on here. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Hope you had a good holidays. Thanks for staying with us, especially your boy Billy out there and everybody else. So feel free to DM us, you know, on Instagram. We love hearing from people. Anything that you liked on years past shows, some segments that you want to kind of get back on the show. We appreciate the feedback. So I'm always open. I got the gram open quite a bit. So happy to kind of engage with some of y'all out there. So let's look forward to a good 2023 stats.
Absolutely. Follow us at Shotgun Mulligan Pod and at CC _ stats. You got your stats tonight, folks. There's more coming.
Attaboy.
We'll give you some more stats so you can all just get up and down.
Get up and down, man.